pray. Father, thank you for the gifts of the Spirit given to us to help us represent you. I pray, Lord, that as we meditate on the gift of patience, that you increase in us not just a desire to be more patient, but increase in us a hunger to have more of you in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for those who were here last week, I think there's something very familiar about that last reading, and it's the exact same reading we had last week, but it was by design, not accident. It wasn't that Miriam forgot to delete it from the bulletin and put in a new one. It's we are doing a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And the reason we sang an anthem at the beginning of the service was to give you a chance to finish the fruit body you got when you came in the door, if you pick up the fruit body. Just think for a minute of the most patient person you know. Who is the most patient person you know? I think the person that comes to my mind is a man who is called Brother Daniel. I might have mentioned him before, whom we met in Latvia years ago, who'd been 20 years behind bars because of his faith. There was a peace and a patience that radiated from him. So what is patience? We'll be looking at what it is and what it's not, and how do we grow it. Well, let's start with the opposite. An obvious example is the Jews in Exodus, right in the beginning of the Old Testament, waiting for Moses to come down from the mountain. You read from Exodus 32, it says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us a god who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him.'" Their focus never really moved much further than the human leader, and they couldn't wait even for a few days for Moses. God waited a whole generation. In Psalm 95:10 it says, "For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, 'There are people who err in their hearts and they do not know my ways.'" And I think that is a key to this whole study. They do not know my ways. It's like in Luke 9 when James and John, Jesus called them the sons of thunder, wanted to call fire down on the inhospitable Samaritans, and Jesus rebuked them. And some of the older translations have this editorial expansion. They say, "You don't know what kind of spirit you're of. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." It's interesting that Solomon links impatience with pride. The end of a thing is better than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud of spirit. And Proverbs 14:29 holds a similar thought. "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." Certainly true of the Exodus situation. So what is patience? Well, it's not apathy, and it's not tolerance. We get some further clarification by looking at the definitions and opposite meanings of the two words translated in the New Testament, patience or long-suffering. The first word, I'm not telling you what the Greek is because I can't pronounce it. But the first one can be translated slow to anger. Remember that, the definition of God's character. Patience in respect to persons, especially related to love. And the opposite of that is wrath, or vengeance. And the other word that's used is endurance, putting up with things or circumstances. And this is especially related to hope. And the opposite of that word is cowardice or despondency. Patience, being a fruit of the Spirit, is obviously also an attribute of God's character. And one of the things that the study of the Old Testament will do for you is amaze you at God's patience with humankind in general, and the Jews in particular. Very early on in this growing revelation of God through the Old Testament is this verse, and it occurs in that same scene of the golden calf. It's when Moses was up the mountain, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, that's patient, and abounding in goodness and truth. God's definition of himself. And again, the story of Jonah gives us another insight into God's patience. He gives time for repentance, and he defers judgment. And Jonah prayed to the Lord and said, "Our Lord, was it not this what I said when I was still in my country? And therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." And Peter tells us God has not changed. He says the Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It follows too then that this is a mark of Jesus' character. As we read in the Gospels, how often do we marvel at Jesus' patience with the disciples' thick-headedness, which means there's hope for us. In the Gospel this morning, we discover that patience is not just tolerance and endurance. Here, Jesus teaches patience with attitude, as they used to say. They don't say that so much now, but everything was whatever it is with attitude, you know. Jesus teaches patience with attitude. It's literally over the top, turning the other cheek, going the second mile, loving your enemies. Now this is pretty radical. James sets a somewhat lower target. He says, "Don't complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged." But Jesus aims high. Love your enemies. Why should we love our enemies? Well, he says it very clearly in that passage. He says, "So that we will be children of our Heavenly Father." In other words, we become the body of Christ on earth. Peter says in his first letter, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." You see, God is love. And the very first attribute of love in 1 Corinthians 13 is what? Paul says, love is
patient.
Love is patient. Then Peter says about Jesus, "While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously." It's hard, if not impossible, to be patient if you cannot trust God. But it wasn't just in Jesus' suffering that he demonstrated patience. He didn't panic when the food ran out, or when the boat was in danger from the storm. He didn't become anxious when he heard Lazarus was sick and dying. He simply, patiently, followed the Father's agenda and trusted the Father to lead him. In Romans 8, Paul tells us that all things work together for good for those that love God. But they don't work together for good to make us happy. As he gives the reason there too, it's to make us into the image of his Son. All things. God uses all things. And if we believe that, it's a lot easier to trust God in all situations. Like the farmer that James refers to. He says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. So that gives some definition of patience, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. And then he encourages us. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You've heard of the endurance of Job, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and merciful. And again, we come back to trusting God, specifically trusting his character. Job, you remember, in the midst of his trials, at the very end of his tether, said that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the Lord. It's an admission of God's sovereignty and faithfulness. The book of Job has been described as a court case where we are the witnesses and God is in the dock. Sorry. We are the judge and God is the accused and Job is the witness. So we have to judge on God's character. The Lord is full of compassion and merciful. Have you noticed that it's hard to be patient when we're not at peace? Often a lack of peace means that there's some guilt or striving or anxiety, and all those really are an expression of a lack of trust in God's capacity to forgive, or to provide, or to lead. It's sin, in other words. And the writer to the Hebrews says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I would suggest that we can only run effectively if we lay aside our sin and keep our eyes on Jesus. Laying aside anxieties or sin may also mean humbling ourselves before trusted members of the body of Christ, allowing Jesus to work through them. We may have a personal relationship with God, but it's lived out in community, as we see over and over again in the book of Acts. What Peter says in his second letter flows on from that. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. One can never reaffirm our faith too much. Share your testimony with your friends and family. Tell God you love him. That is, worship him. Don't be like a friend of ours who, in jest, I trust, on their wedding anniversary said, I told my wife on our wedding day that I loved her, and if I change my mind, I'll let her know. Love needs to be reaffirmed and demonstrated repeatedly to survive. Peter goes on, for as long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. And we cannot expect God to be patient with us if we're not patient with one another. Patience is a two-way street, and God clearly demands reciprocity. You remember the story of the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18, the one who had been forgiven so much, who refused to forgive so little to his employee. And Jesus says that this man was severely judged, and he said, "So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother." And we need to realise that patience is very different from tolerance. Jesus was very patient with sinners, tax collectors, publicans and prostitutes, but he would not tolerate exploitation of the vulnerable or the abuse of religious power. Paul gets quite personal in Romans 2. "And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of God's goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you're treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds." There will be a final accountability. I praise God for his patience in the present. It's not cool these days to talk about judgment or judgment day. We seem to have an embarrassed social memory of hellfire and brimstone preachers driving people into the kingdom with a fear of hell. Well, hell is another sermon. But our capacity to be patient in the sense of long-suffering is linked to God's justice as well as his love. Our suffering may eventually bring someone to repentance. Did the early Christians in Acts pray that God would snuff out this man who was persecuting them, Saul of Tarsus? Or did they pray for his conversion? Well, I don't know, but I'm glad God was patient with Paul. And Paul speaks of this to Timothy. He says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who's enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." But what about the persecutors who do not come to repentance? Paul tells us, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather leave room for God's wrath. For as written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Love your enemies." Be patient, long-suffering, be loving, and trust God for justice. But how long is long-suffering? Well, I'm one of these visual people that likes visual images. And so is long-suffering this long, you know? Or is it this long? Well, if I could have the choir come out the front. But I need you to sort of line up. You may need to spread around down the aisle. But if you all stretch out your hands, so that means you need to move that way. Okay. It's all right. So, long-suffering is longer than this. Now, this doesn't really tell you a lot, but what it does do is stick in your memory that long-suffering is long, right? So, okay, you can stay there for a minute. Long-suffering is long. Malcolm Muggeridge's son, prayed for 40 years for his father's conversion. Long-suffering isn't necessarily something that passes quickly. And patience is a fruit. If the tree, our life, is not watered by the Holy Spirit and the Word, the fruit will have little substance. It's like an apricot on a dry spring that is mostly stone with only a thick skin around it. I don't know if you know any thick-skinned Christians. It may contain the seed of truth, but with no flesh, there's little to nurture the seed and enable new growth. Patience is a fruit. It's not a gift. It grows, but it only grows as it's nurtured. And what we've been hearing about is how to water the tree. Look to Jesus. How many times have we heard that in the readings? Give it a regular soak in Scripture. Affirm your love relationship with God the Father and Jesus his Son through the Holy Spirit in worship and study together and in private. Be at peace with God. Remove all that entangles, even if you have to swallow your pride to do it, and share your need with others. Let me finish with this verse from 1 Thessalonians. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Father, thank you for your gift of patience, your fruit of patience. And thank you that you are committed to grow that in us, that you use all things to shape us to be Christ to those whom we meet. Help us to be responsive to your word. Help us to be responsive to your spirit, and help us to help one another to grow in us your fruit of patience. Amen.
Thank you.